The views and opinions expressed in the Humanizing the Headset podcast are those of the authors, guests, and hosts of the podcast, and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Humanizing the Headset as a whole. This podcast may contain adult language and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I always do this every podcast. I ask what number we're on. So, and most of us here have no idea. It's always Kaylee, who's not with us today. She's still with us. She's still with us.
Could you clarify that?
on the podcast today. So she'll have to figure out what number it is. It's like 21, 24. 22. 24.
Ooh,
yeah. Wow. Number 24. Such a successful number. I don't know what that means. So anyway.
I'm number 24.
You are number 24.
Write that down. It's my lucky number now.
So the voice you're hearing is Tracy Ertl from Hero Light Training. Did I say it right? Did I get it right?
You did.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Actually, Janelle, who is also on the podcast, and she's always quiet, so you don't know she's here. Hi, Janelle.
Hi.
Hi, Janelle.
Yeah, pops here. Up randomly like 5 minutes in. Like,
right.
I do.
Like,
I
where do. Did that I'm voice here. Come from? Yeah. I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm going to get one of those soundboards, and it's just going to be like Janelle going, hi, every few minutes. She doesn't even have to be here. It'll just be I'll press a button.
The
audience applause. So Janelle actually asked Tracy to come on, and you know, we had a little bit of discussion beforehand, and I told Tracy, hold on to that, because she's very passionate about what she's talking about. And Tracy, tell us a little bit about what you do. What's your deal? Just like you asked me before, Norm, who are you?
So I'm still figuring out what my deal is, which is why we're having the podcast today for everybody out there who might listen, because I am next month, it'll be 2 years removed operationally from 911. So I served 27 and a half years in a consolidated 911 center, loved it, still loved it the day that I left, the day that I retired. And I've spent the last 2 years adjusting to retirement operationally and finding, you know, my next adventures. So I have launched Hero Light Training in the aftermath of my retirement. I have a deep passion for training and for the industry. And so one of the things that I'm hoping to convey today or tonight, if you're listening to us on night shift, is that when you retire operationally, when wearing the headset is all over, it doesn't really have to be over. You can reinvent yourself within the industry. You may need to be in a different position, a different spot. You may actually go to another agency and serve a different role, or you may be like me and you may decide to create something to be helpful, create something that didn't exist before. And that's what I did. That's what I did with Hero Light. So I am a dispatch loving, 911 loving, 911 matriarch, if I can use that term, who is still finding, I'm still finding my role completely. And I'm still finding my role as a human post retirement, because we live so differently when we're working operationally. So one of the hardest things for me to answer, people will run into me who haven't seen me in a long time, and they'll make the assumption that retirement was beautiful from the beginning. They'll ask me a question and then they'll answer it. They'll say, so how's retirement? And then immediately they said, it's great, isn't it? And then I have to make a decision at that moment. Do I go all in? Do I lead them through the last 2 years, or do I smile? And so my current answer is retirement's great now. Operationally, I'm busier than ever. I'm working for myself now, and for other teams that I've created, but it wasn't always perfect. And even though I thought I had planned for it, it was a shock. It was absolutely a total shock. And so I'm really excited, whomever is listening right now, whether you're working day shift, night shift, afternoon shift, maybe you're not working right now, maybe you're at home, whatever hours you're working, I think a 2-year rearview mirror gives you a perspective, you know, on what to expect and what isn't. And I'm humbly excited to share some of the things that I've learned to help your journey. And this isn't for older telecoms. Tenured or seasoned telecoms. This is for everybody. Whether you're 22 and you're 6 months in, or you have 30 years in and you still love what you do and you're trying to figure out if it's time yet to leave operationally, it's never too early to start planning. What I say is the moment you enter, you should start planning your exit so that when you leave at some point, you leave without regret and you leave with joy. And they didn't teach us that years ago. We were just kind of hanging on for dear life, right? You're on that hamster wheel. You're going. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I've been doing this for 20 years. Like, is there an after? Is there an adventure after? One of the questions I often get asked is, how did you know? Because I was very passionate about what I did. I still love taking 911 calls 27 years in. Still got a kick out of it. Still enjoyed it. So people often will ask me, and it was a shock when I decided to leave operationally. I was right on the dot as far as the minimum requirement to be able to leave, and that wasn't my plan at all. I left at 55, and I planned to go to at least 60. So people will say to me, how did you know? Like, well, I know. And my answer now is, I think most of us end up knowing. It's a matter of whether or not we listen to that voice. Do you listen to it, or do you put it off? And my goal was always, I never wanted anybody to tell me it was time to leave. I wanted to leave, right? Yeah. I wanted to leave on my own terms, and I wanted to ride off on my white horse. I fell off my white horse after I rode off on it, but I wanted it to be on my terms, and I wanted to leave healthy as possible. And I did, but I definitely had some surprises around the corner.
I think it's, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Finally enjoying your retirement. You know, we've talked about this. I talk about it a lot because I see it a lot. And I talk about it because people put their whole heart into what they're doing a lot of time, right? Especially people in this industry. You're a police officer, you're a firefighter, you're a dispatcher, some sort of first responder. It becomes your life a lot of times, right? So, yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's important for people. It becomes their identity. So when they're done, you know, a lot of us think, man, I can't wait to retire because the house is going to get fixed and all this, but you're a month in and the house is fixed. Everybody else is happy. And you're like, now what? Now what do I do? What do I do? Because all I've known is this type of work. And that's why I feel like a lot of first responders, when they retire, take another job in the same type of field, right? Because they don't know anything else. They don't know what to do. Especially you start this job when you're 20, 22, and you go till retirement. What else do you know? You don't have anything else. And if you like to pick up overtime, if you like to go to training, you become a trainer, you become a supervisor, you become a manager, you become a director. It's all you know how to do. And trying to relearn, like, what's out there for me to do? Because, you know, if you're like us and you work, Brendan and I work afternoon shift, but if you're a midnight shift person and you do that for 30 years or 25 years or however long, you really have no idea what's actually out there.
What's going on? You don't know what's going on during the day. Right. You don't know what traffic patterns look like. Right. Nothing.
No.
I spent half my career on nights.
Yep, your skin is translucent because you haven't seen the sun in that long. You know, I can see the blood pumping through your body because you're just, you know, you're opaque. And you're like, what is that thing? What's that bright thing in the sky? Why is it hurt? It's important for people to know. And not just that portion of it. You know, at my age, I'll be 50 this year.
Welcome almost to the club.
Oh God.
It's a good club.
I'm looking forward to it. The
spend time with anybody you don't want to.
Right.
The problem except if you're still at work.
Right. The problem I have is, you know, when I was younger, I was not in this field. I've only been doing this. I'm in my 13th year and I did lots of other stuff. And, you know, I had started a family very young. So I was not very good at putting money away, you know, because I needed every cent that I could scrounge up all the way up until, hell, even just recently, you know. So if you're 22 and you're getting into that, I told my daughter, she just started a job with a county records division. And I told her, start putting money away. Start putting it away now, because, mm-hmm. you know, I would love to be like my former supervisor who retired and she retired early and she's still making her pay on retirement. And then she's going to get the Social Security and that's going to supplement and she's going to be living a great life. I'm not going to be able to do that. Not at this
point. We'll talk outside. Outside of the podcast. Well, let's get to it. Let's talk about let's talk about what we need to do. Yeah. So this is our reality. When we work in dispatch, we're moving fast. We're used to talking fast. We're used to moving fast. We have to move through calls fast. And then what happens is you hit retirement. So I had an amazing send-off. My department was wonderful to me, and a few key people made sure that even though my decision to leave operationally was a surprise to most people, and I gave a good notice. I gave 2.5 months, but I needed that time. I had more than a dozen teams and projects that I needed to tie off that I didn't know I was going to need to tie off and move on gracefully to other people. I needed every bit of that 2.5 months to do it. And it still felt like I was sliding through home base. They sent me off beautiful. I had, because we were right in the middle of COVID, nobody could come up and visit me. And I was actually sad about that. I wanted to be able to say goodbye. And they had a parade for me. I've got all these fire trucks and police squads going by me. It was like from a movie. And then you go to your party at the local establishment for hors d'oeuvres and drinks. And then you wake up the next morning. And it's like, okay, now, you know, now what? So this is my rearview mirror. I was still in dispatch mode, where we have adrenaline and cortisol in our bodies. I know Humanizing the Headset really has a strong focus on health, and it's very, very important. So the first thing to understand is that when we're dispatching, cortisol and adrenaline course through our bodies in order to be able to do what we need to do. And that doesn't automatically, it doesn't stop. Like, you leave and then you have what's called post-dispatch time. That's a whole nother class. But when you retire, at least for a few days, a few weeks, those chemicals are still running through you and you have no idea what to do with that. So what happens is, for a lot of us, is we're used to moving fast, and it can be dangerous in the outside world, outside of dispatch, moving too fast, moving too impulsively. So in any other profession, most of the time you have time to think about what you're going to do, think about what you're going to say, not in 911 dispatch, right? We have to move fast. We have to make quick decisions. Then we retire and we're in the outside world. And if we don't prepare ourselves ahead of time, we still take that same concept and we apply it to the outside world and it doesn't work. So this is my story. I was sedentary after working 27 and a half years, 12-hour shifts. And then, like most people, when they retire, we want to get into shape. Even if we're already in shape, we want to get into better shape. And I went somewhere that didn't have proper intake protocol. In other words, they didn't ask enough questions as far as my health and my level of activity. And I'm not an exercise professional. And my back was broken on my first visit. I ended up with compression fractures in my spine. Oh, wow. So that was, and a lot of people don't know this. I haven't been open about it. At first I was embarrassed that this could happen to me. I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. So that happened in, I retired in June of 2020, and my back was broken by November of 2020. And I spent the next several months until Janelle saw me at conference in a turtle brace. And then when I got out of the turtle brace, because I was still after a quarter of a century working in 911, that's what I know is moving fast, making decisions fast, moving fast, got out of the turtle brace, and then still had not learned to slow down. And I suffered another injury, and I'm someone who had never, other than breaking my wrist once during, I live in Wisconsin, so there's lots of snow and ice. I broke my wrist once while I was shoveling snow, but otherwise I'd never broken a bone in my life. I broke my shoulder and my arm. So it took me a while to learn that lesson. I had to learn it very directly. Post-dispatch, post-operational life, it's different. We need to slow down. You need to reflect. There's no reason to rush anymore. We need to slow down, reflect, pay attention to how you're moving your body, pay attention to how you're answering people. Is it necessary to move a friend or a relative off the phone in 2 minutes? Can you spend, right? Because we're used to doing that.
Depends on the relative.
You're retired. You're retired. You can spend 10 minutes. Isn't that why you retired? To spend more time with friends, family, work around the house, exercise. We have to learn to embrace it, but it can be difficult. So fast forward, and then we'll move back. And I know you'll ask more questions. What my life looks like now is very different from what it looked like in the first few weeks or few months of retirement. And I think I finally have it right, at least for right now. So I have had to redo my sleep schedule. We don't sleep well in dispatch. No. I spent half my career on night shift and then the other half on day shift and part of it on afternoon shift. So that was another thing to learn after retirement is what worked for you before probably won't work for you now. And you'll have to really fight to get onto some type of a sleep schedule. So I thought I was a night owl. I thought, woohoo, I can stay up. I can watch Nightline. I don't have to be in the seat at 5:30 in the morning. But I realized then I was sleeping too late in the morning. It wasn't working for me. Now I get up in the morning. I love coffee. Drink my coffee right away in the morning. I don't watch birds. I learned I don't like bird watching. I thought I would. I don't. But I do. I do go outside, drink my coffee, and I'm still working, but I'm working in different capacities. So I retired. Many of you who are listening may know me as, you might recognize my voice as being one of your adjunct instructors for APCO. I worked with them and served that mission for 15 years and loved it, but I retired from that too. I decided that I needed to create something that I drove and decide where I'm going to go, who I want to serve, and what I'm going to be teaching, all those sorts of things. So I've created balance as well. So I dig in dirt now. I've reestablished my garden. I have a vegetable garden. I have flowers. I recently refurbished my bicycle. I think, it's safe for me to try to ride again very carefully. I bought elbow pads, knee pads. I've got the helmet. I'm ready to go. We don't want to break any more bones, but it's about finding that balance. But for most of us, I think it will definitely take some time. So the first lesson is to be prepared for the unexpected. Retirement may not initially be what you planned it to be, but you can then formulate it and make it how you want it. You know, do you plan on having a job after retiring? I call it retiring operationally. And I know many people who retired from public safety and then they take a security job somewhere. And that's right. Fine if that's really what you want to do. But like you said, Norm, for a lot of us, that's all we've known. So then we fall back on what we know. But is that really what you want to do in your retirement? Maybe it is. But a couple of years ago, I got it right after I had retired. I wasn't home at the time, but I got a flower delivery. My husband answered the door, and it was a retired police officer that I'd worked with for years. And she'd often talked about how when she retired, she was going to deliver flowers. And I was like, good for her. Yeah. She's actually doing it. She's bringing sunshine. She's not taking reports. She's not listening to domestic disturbances. She's delivering flowers. Most people are happy when they get them. I think it's important to think ahead of time about what you want to do if you're going to be working, and like what capacity, and do you need special training? Is there some kind of research you need to do ahead of time? All of that you can do leading up.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people, when they go to retire, necessarily want to keep doing what they've always been doing, but it's familiar. It's comfortable.
That's right. And so comfortable in that regard.
It's kind of a safety. Yep. A safe blanket, kind of.
Absolutely, it is totally a safety blanket. You put that thing on, you go sit, and you get that the little badge and the, you know, whatever you get equipped with, that authority will say, you know. And I'm not saying that because I feel like they're on a power trip or anything. They're just comfortable with having that responsibility. Maybe is the right thing. And when they don't know anything else, they don't know what to do with it. So it's, I don't think they understand that it's okay to let it go and find something else.
I think you're absolutely right, Norman. I don't think there have been any studies done yet on dispatch, but when you look at law enforcement officers, now this is a little bit dark, I'll warn people ahead of time, but if you look at the statistics, and toward the end of my tenure at Brown County Public Safety, I started to pay more attention to what was happening with police officers that I had served in the past who had since retired. And a lot of them were passing away within 5 to 10 years of retiring. Mm-hmm. That's actually common. Like if you're listening to this, you know, hopefully it won't freak you out too much, but it's true. And I think part of that is there isn't a plan for after, and your work is so much part of your identity as a person. People leave and then they don't know exactly what to do with themselves. And I'm hoping through this podcast to be able to help with that. So one of the things I've learned is, because we're sedentary as dispatchers, one of the things that we need to do is prepare not to be sedentary. Because if you leave dispatch and then you continue to be sedentary in your after adventure or retirement, and you don't still have the mission adrenaline, well, then yeah, we're not going to make it. Or we're going to end up really unhealthy. So we have to find a way to start that process. One of the things that I wish that I had done, and I had really good examples and mentors in the center, but I didn't do it as often as I should have. They say sitting is the new smoking as far as damage to your mm-hmm. health. Oh, yeah. If everybody just stood once an hour when you're dispatching for 5 minutes, you can avoid that. You don't have to stand the whole shift, but we need to just stand. You don't even have to exercise. Just standing will make such a big difference on your health, your skeletal health. This is especially important for women. If you are premenopausal or menopausal, and men don't need to understand what I'm talking about, but the women that are listening, they'll know. During that period of time, being sedentary can be really dangerous for your bones, for your skeleton. Your bones degenerate anyway, start to degenerate during that time as women. And then if you drink colas, clear soda, not so much, but if you are a Diet Coke drinker, like I was, if you drink colas combined with being sedentary, it speeds up that degeneration. So we were talking about health before we get started. I wish I had known that when I was still working, but in the center operationally, I didn't. So now we can pass on that knowledge. Now get up and stand once an hour, pay attention what you put into your body, spend some time, you know, learning about health. And Norm, you were talking about financial health. So yeah. In order to have a happy, joyful retirement, there has to be financial stability. And we don't really do a good job within our dispatch community of like training on that, providing any kind of knowledge, even having a discussion about it. So many of us, wherever it is that you are serving your mission, I don't even call it a job, wherever it is that you're serving your mission, there are probably things available to you that maybe you haven't checked into or you haven't paid any attention to it. Maybe you have something called deferred compensation. Mm-hmm. Deferred compensation is money that you can sign up for a certain amount of money that comes off the top of your check, pre-tax dollars, and then it's invested. And you don't even miss it because it's pre-tax dollars. But if, especially, it's not too late if you're in your 40s or your 50s, but if you are in your 20s and 30s and you have access to deferred compensation, you should start now. Yeah. You put in $20 a pay period, you'd be shocked.
At a minimum.
And, oh, yeah. Be shocked. And if you can up it. So I did not do this, but a couple of people that I worked with did it. I wish I did have deferred compensation. I just wasn't as aggressive with it as I wished. And here's the rearview mirror. But I have a friend who every time she got a raise, then she raised her deferred comp to include that. And she didn't even miss it. And I expect she'll probably retire in the next year or two. And from a financial standpoint, the amount of freedom that she will have just from that step alone will be mind-boggling.
Yeah. I can't imagine that if you go to retire, because you know, I know what my situation is. You know, I don't have too many more years that I have to dispatch. You know, I'm gonna get to I think our retirement age was 55 before they changed it in the state of Illinois.
What is it now?
It's 62, is it not? I think.
We can start to collect it. It depends on what tier you are for your retirement.
Right.
Are you tier one?
Yeah.
Tier one, you can retire. You can start to collect at 55, but you max out at 62. So mm-hmm. if you work until then, your pension almost doubles if you work those 7 additional years.
Yeah.
See, these are the conversations we need to have. And people generally don't have them because we're busy. We're working hard. We're taking calls. We're dispatching. But if we could have more financial discussions in amongst ourselves, and those who are knowledgeable, if you could, instead of being secret squirrel and keeping it to yourself, if you could share it, right? Share it. Like, it's good that you're going to be all set, but don't you want the people that you're serving the mission with to be okay too? And maybe they won't listen, but maybe they will, maybe they don't know. Right. So to be able to freely have those discussions. And I look at now like 10-year mark, 5-year, 2-year, 1 year, or you may just all of a sudden, like me, have had your eye on retirement, like as this far out thing. And then you come in for a shift and you take a call and you just know. That's what happened to me. It was during the pandemic. And I took a call. I shouldn't say I took the call. I was a supervisor and I reviewed a call. And it was the escort of a hearse from a funeral home carrying a COVID victim who was only 43 years old. And it was for an escort, police escort, to escort the hearse by the widow's home. And that's how she was going to have to say goodbye to her husband. And she was 43 too.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking. She's gonna have to say goodbye to him through the window of the hearse. And that was it for me. It wasn't even like, it wasn't the call. And that's why I say there's surprises. You'd think, I took many shooting calls, stabbing calls, death-related calls. You'd think that would be the call, right? That would be like, yep, that's it, I'm done. For me, it wasn't. It was the escort of a vehicle. And I realized in that moment that I had served the mission and already served it well. I had given my 27 and a half years. I say 28, but technically it's 27 and a half. And they put 27 and a half on my blanket too. They wouldn't even give me the 28. It's like, but we're particular in dispatch, right? I realized in that moment that I had already served my mission operationally. And it was time to ride off on the white horse. I started to, and I described this during conference, I started to cry, which wasn't at all typical for me. Dispatch, I wasn't making any noise. It wasn't affecting the people around me, but a quarter of a century started coming out of me. during that shift, right after reading that call and realizing the gravity of it. And I went home. I called my two sons out of state, thinking they would talk me out of it. And then I waited for my husband to get up. He works night shift. And the next day was, so that was a Sunday. Monday, I called my director and I talked a million miles a minute. I sat with the cell phone in my hand. I called him at 8:07 a.m. I kept like punching in his number and then deleting it out. And then I finally let the call go through and made the decision to leave. So for me, it was what I call an epiphany moment where, yeah, I think I'm done. I want to leave while I'm still mentally healthy. I thought I was physically healthy. I wasn't at all. It's time to go. Time for the next adventure. But all of you and listening, you have a different opportunity in this moment, a different opportunity to plan. So I
I want to, before it goes out of my head, because that's just how it works at my age, right? I said I was going to be 50. You need to write down epiphany right now, because it's a discovery about yourself, right? So you had an epiphany. It's an epiphany. Sorry, I had to get that out because I think that's clever. I could totally see it being used as the hashtag and in some sort of training. But yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just had to.
I'm glad you told me that.
Too awesome to use somewhere. I mean, it's so cool. And you, so I will tell you, you know, your energy is very, very infectious. You know, nobody else can see you. We're on Zoom right now talking to one another. And, you know, fortunately for us, Tracy got up and did her hair and put her makeup and stuff on when she didn't have to. And, but she has a very kind face and a very great energy. So, and you know, you had to go through a little bit of crap to get there. So maybe 2 years ago, it wasn't like that. I don't know. I have a feeling you've kind of been the same person, but you know, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, epiphany, write that stuff down.
Epiphany instead of epiphany. Thank you so much. That's awesome. So let's plan our exit. So that let's drive it rather than somebody else driving it. Let's drive that car out, like with both hands on the wheel and ready to go. So you don't bump around like I did. So when we talk about, you know, planning for your exit, we're not necessarily talking 1 or 2 years out. It's really never too early to plan. So what does that mean in the earlier years when you still have 10 years to go or maybe even 20? It means instead of just running through the motions of showing up and doing the best job you can and then going home and it just, the weeks just keep flipping around. It means thinking about every year. You know those, some of you have annual evaluations with your supervisors and they call you and maybe they do goal setting with you and you just like scribble down some stuff to get through it. You know, I'm a realist. And probably a large percentage of people. And then you don't look at them again until the next year. And you're like, oh yeah, that's what I put on my form. Did I hit any of that? Yeah, not really. We'll put some new stuff down there this year. It's important if you really want to be able to leave at some point, someday or some night with joy and really be able to leave without regret and go on to your next adventure without a lot of bumps or baggage. It's important to think about what do you want to accomplish other than just showing up and, you know, filling in your shift. Is there anything that you want to accomplish in the course of your career? What do you want to learn? How do you want to be known? What do you want your legacy to be? For me, my legacy was with people. I love people. I loved my people. They know it. And what is your legacy? Maybe you're really good with technology. Maybe your legacy is with equipment. Making sure that your people, your colleagues, maybe you're in a supervisor managerial role. It's not every year you should be looking at what do I want to accomplish this year? And at the same time, looking at your health, your mental health and your physical health so that when you leave, you aren't broken and you can go on to that next adventure. I think the wisest people are those who know when it's time. And then they actually listen to it. Like you hear that voice, it's time, but can you actually listen to it and then have the courage to, you know, to make the leap? So 10 years out, is there a promotion? Is there a different position within your organization that you've thought about for a long time and you really want to go for it? Don't have regret, go for it. And then if it doesn't work out, that's okay, but you won't be left wondering, like, what if I, you know, had done that at some point? And then when we look, when we're 5 years, especially when we're 5 years out, when you think you're like within, you know, 5 years or so, what do your finances look like? Will you be ready? And are there some corrective actions that you need to take? Do you know what your credit score is? Like, there are lots of free places you can go to get your credit score. Do you even know what your score is? Maybe you haven't bought anything major in a long time. That's important because good financial health creates what we call freedom of movement. You can move where you want to move. You have to have a certain threshold. I'm not a financial planner, but I can tell you that maybe you're going to change up your life and you want to move and you want to get an apartment somewhere. You're going to, if you don't have a credit score of 600 or above, you're going to struggle to be able to move where you want to move. They may not take you. And that's the minimum. That's the minimum threshold. Once you start to hit 620, there are less problems, but 600 is the minimum. So we have to, you know, look at those things. Do you have any safety money, you know, put aside? It's difficult. I've never thought dispatchers make what they're worth. I still don't think that we make what we're worth, but we make what we make and we sign on knowing that. We do it for the mission of it. But there is some financial stability that goes along with being a dispatcher. You can go anywhere. You can work anywhere. A good dispatcher is needed anywhere. So you do have freedom of movement to be able to move places. You will always be needed. Now, there are some agencies where they have robotic dispatching. I recently trained at an agency where they have robotic dispatching for fire calls. But I don't know that we'll ever be replaced. I don't think that we'll ever be replaced as far as taking 911 calls. We're part of humanizing the headset, right? There is a human behind that headset that is needed to be able to assess and comfort and pull out information. I don't think a machine will ever be able to do that, right?
Right, an instinct too.
Yes, yeah. But we need to plan properly. So when we look at finances, you should have at least 6 months, if you can, it's not always possible, you should have at least 6 months of living money set aside to be able to leap safely. And like, that's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's the bare minimum. Do you have your credit cards, you know, paid off, or are they manageable? All those things we need to look at. We need to look at finances. And maybe you don't have everything that you need, but especially in today's work environment, you can go pick up a part-time job almost anywhere right now. The window will not always be that. Maybe you're 55 and you thought you were going to go till 60 and you're listening to me and you're like, yeah, I want to be healthy and still vibrant. I want to leave on my own terms. Maybe you have a little bit of money put away, but not a lot. Maybe you work where you can start collecting, you know, a pension right away. Maybe you don't need as much as you think you need, because you can go get a supplemental part-time job and it can be something fun, something that you really want to do.
There's something I want to talk about with that. If we can go back just a little bit now that you mentioned it again. And I don't know if this is true or not, maybe it is for some and maybe not for others. But in terms of after 911 employment, what's the goal? Like, are you just trying to subsidize your income so that you can just sort of like pay for healthcare? Or are you just not, a quote that came to me was be brave enough to suck at something new.
And I like that.
If a lot of people who are retiring, like I'm thinking of me, like, do I want to start over professionally? Like, what is my goal as far as employment? Is it just to have additional money? Or do I really want to grow professionally at this point after I've retired from somewhere else? Like, how invested am I in this new venture? You know, And I don't know if that was true for you, like in terms of what you were thinking after you retired, like what did you want to do and why, what were your motivations behind it? Was it, and may, not just for you specifically, but for in general, you know, like, do I want to do more of what I was doing because it's what I love so much, but just away from the headset? Or is it really just, because we talked about comfort, like we do it because we're comfortable with it, you know? But are we?
I can answer that. I can so answer this, and I'm excited to answer. Thank you for
what your personal goal was there. Like, did you just want to have a supplemental income on top of your retirement and the additional savings that you had, or did you really want to be out there working more within the industry that you just retired from, albeit not in the same capacity?
Sometimes we can reinvent ourselves, and then we live a very, for those of you who are listening, you're so unique and so unusual in all the world. There is no one quite like a dispatcher. Even though we're all different, we have different characteristics. So one of our characteristics pretty much across the board is we're savers and we're helpers. We want to save and we want to help. So one of my frustrations in being a 911 dispatcher, telecommunicator, whatever you call yourself, supervisor, one of my frustrations, I love people, and I never felt like, and I have no regret, I loved my mission, I would do it all over again. But one of the difficulties in what we do is letting go of the people and not having closure. We're getting better at it within our industry, right? As supervisors, we're learning more when it's important to reach out and get the information that your colleagues need in order to have closure, but we can't do that on every call. And our calls are seconds and minutes. They're not an hour. And so what I realized is I still wanted to help, but I didn't want to be as rushed as I was on 911. And I wanted to be able to see people face to face, like for the first time in my life. So in my retirement, so here's a very important lesson with retirement. And that is, when you retire, everybody in the world will want you to volunteer. And if you're not careful, all of your evenings will be filled up with board meetings and all kinds of stuff. People assume that you're just automatically available, especially if you're a nice person, right?
Right.
And
right.
I had a very good friend who did prepare me for that ahead of time. And so I am doing volunteer work. It's not paid work, but it is work that I've always wanted to do. So I am a Vincentian. So some of you have heard of thrift shops, or St. Vincent de Paul is specifically who I volunteer for. Mm-hmm. And so people who are in need, it's a different kind of rescuing. It's a different kind of 911, but it fits me in this point in my life. So I realized I sincerely thought about who am I and what am I still able to give that won't affect my brain anymore, because we do take deep risks with our minds, with our brain as 911 dispatchers. We are affected. Absolutely. You cannot serve a quarter of a century career or 13 years like you are, Norm, in without it affecting you. We hear everything. So I thought about how can I still want to help. And I want to be closer to people than I was able to be in my career in 911. And so I was able to reinvent myself with volunteer work. So I'm a Vincentian, and what I do when people call St. Vincent de Paul and they need help with their rent, they need a mattress for their child to sleep on, they're hungry, they need food, I get those referral calls now. And so I get to do calls in a different way. So instead of answering 911, it's a slower pace 911. People are in crisis, they're in need. I call them back, and then I can spend as much time as I want with them on the phone, assessing what they need. And then I can do a home visit, and we always go with another Vincentian for safety. But then we go and we get to meet with people, and we get to comfort them face to face and provide resources. So as a 911 dispatcher, I sent police squads and fire trucks and engines, and now the resources that I provide in my after work, after retirement work, I provide mattresses and rent money and food. So I put a lot of thought into that. And then I volunteer for another organization that's, my daughter is a sister, is a nun. And I found an organization that specifically supports that calling. And so, you know, I'm sending cards to sick priests, and but it's work that I enjoy, that supplements. In addition to that, I had created a life for myself beyond dispatch before I retired. And I think that's really important to talk about. You don't have to wait until you're retired. You can start working on it early. So I have a publishing company. I publish books. And then I had long been a trainer for the APCO Institute, but I wanted to continue to train, but I decided to make the leap. There are so many reasons that that call that I told you about, shared with all of you, the escort call for the person who had passed away, that was like the trigger point. But there were many reasons, as I assessed very quickly, 24 hours, there were many reasons why I knew it was the right time, and I provided for that life. So I decided that I wanted to be able to train on my own terms. I'm a professional writer, so I wanted to write my own curriculum. I wanted to write classes that weren't available to my own team. And then I wanted to pick and choose where I went. I wanted, you know, if I wanted to hit the East Coast, I wanted to be able to go where I wanted to go. And I didn't want to have to worry anymore about landing in Milwaukee 2 hours away at 10 o'clock at night, driving in, and then needing to be in the dispatch seat at 6 a.m. I wanted that freedom of movement.
Yeah.
So for everybody, retirement is different. I'm working as much now as I was before. I mean, I am absolutely some days working 8 to 12 hours, but it's a new adventure, but I take 911 with me. 911 is always, once you work dispatch. So I was sharing with Norman, Brendan, and Janelle before we got started. When I drive, this happened to me yesterday. I was driving downtown to my bank, and I realized as I passed a key intersection, what I didn't see was the intersection. I saw an accident, a critical accident from 14 years ago. Like, I can tell you, you know, where critical accidents were. When I look at certain buildings, I see fires from years past. Not flashbacks. I have PTSD, but I'm not talking about having PTSD while I'm driving, you know, through my community. But our frame of reference is just different. It's deeper.
How we view the world is definitely different.
How we view the world. And for so I'm here to share this with you. I have some friends who have retired from 911 and discovered that they need to leave where they live. They need a new adventure somewhere else because they see too much in those buildings, in those intersections. I'm here to share with you, that's very common. I don't want you to feel like you're crazy. If you have recently retired and you're feeling that way, there are many people who decide to move to a different community because the memories are too intense and you can't be there as a regular person in the outside world. You could be there in 911, but then you find that it's almost too much. For me, that's not the case. I think I have a deeper love for my community now than I even did before, because I've had time to reflect on what my community's been through. Like, I see them so, so clearly. I see the pain and then the resurrection that many people, and I don't think we think about this till later on, because you don't have time, and I know that, but now I have time to think about some of these things. We see generations come through 911, right? You had the runaway, and then eventually maybe they have children, and then unfortunately sometimes cycles repeat themselves, and then their children start to come through, you know, our system. So you see families and people and buildings that were burned down, and then they were resurrected into something else. You carry all that knowledge with you. So I flipped it from pain and trauma to just knowledge. I know my community extremely well, and that's a gift. It's absolutely a gift. And you, I don't know, I see, it's sad, like when I passed that intersection, I thought about the people. You know, I don't know their names anymore, but I can tell you in general who was lost. that day. I think that's the reality that we don't always talk about. And then the reality that you may have had a friend for 20 years in 911. The moment you walk out the door, it's different. It just is, because they have to, I learned at first I was hurt. And then I've learned over the last 2 years, they're still riding the hamster wheel. They're still processing calls and living in that world where they're not getting enough sleep. Probably they're trying to manage family and balance, and they don't have time to stay in contact. Yeah. It's not because they don't care about me or they didn't appreciate the 2 decades we spent together. They're still living their life. And so you learn that you have to let some people go. In fact, you have to let most people go. They will just automatically, you'll think it will be different for you, but I'm here to share with you that it won't. I thought it would be different for me. I would see people disappear or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, we're going to get together. We're going to have like lunch every month. I'm here to share with you that life goes on and new people will come into your life. You'll still keep some of the friendships, but it will be far less than what you're probably prepared for. So prepare for that. Prepare for that now. And then we can prepare as communities. We can do it better. So it's important to give reverence and to have reverence for people who have served your agency in the past. So my agency is starting to do this really well, my former agency, but I still consider it, you know, my family. They have a thread via Messenger, via Facebook Messenger. And it's for anybody who's retired and then soon to be. And there's really, it's really loose. Like there's no rules. Like there's a couple of people on there that it may be 10 years before they retire, but we all kind of keep track of each other. So I recently shared I'm going to be a grandma on there because I wanted them to know, but I haven't shared. Well, now it's out. I haven't shared it on Facebook, but it's out now. And I'm excited. I knew they'd be happy. There isn't a lot of communication on there, but critical things. Somebody's sick. We haven't had a message on there since I've been retired where somebody has passed, but certainly that's going to come at some point. Mm-hmm. And then next week is my birthday. And some people from the center, we have birthdays in May. We're going to get together. So I think it's important for there to be a plan with the agency too, because there has to be that continued adventure to some extent if people want it, but also the understanding that you are moving on to another adventure and life won't be the same. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. I want to, I saved, I hope it's okay, guys. The first off, I wanted to say, Janelle.
Yeah.
Are you saving money?
I am, yes.
Okay.
I was just going to ask, like, the difference in the, I don't mean to cut you off, Norm, but I was curious to see, like, where the three of us are in terms, because we're different ages, we're different lengths in our careers and stuff like that, so I'm glad that you asked mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I can tell you where we're at. Janelle is a planner, and I'm sure she's probably very meticulous about what she's putting away, and she's probably calculated a lot of it, and then mm-hmm. you're somewhere in between there. And then I didn't do any of it, to be honest with you. I haven't done any of it. No, I didn't, because for many years, so my previous marriage, I had a kid, who I adore, you know, she's an adult now,
I hope but, so.
You know, she, well, and I say that because
did you like your child?
Yeah, she was okay. I don't
She's
know.
All right.
No, she did. My point being, though, is that adds a complexity. And when I wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't make the money I make as a dispatcher. Our agency pays very well as a dispatcher. And then as a supervisor or assistant supervisor and a supervisor, but my bills were always there. And I didn't feel that I was able to put any of that money away ever. So I still have a lot of bills from that relationship, and it's been 5 years. So I'm still trying to get rid of those, which is also why, you know, and I'll say it, you know, Brendan talked about earlier about his life stuff. You know, I instead of working overtime at the 911 center, like the 1 year I put in 640 hours of overtime, right? That's how many hours of overtime I worked. It was a lot. I can't do it anymore. I want to leave that there. And now I I don't put a huge focus on it, but I do real estate. So it's fun. It's actually fun to me. I love taking people into houses and looking at houses because one, you know, yeah, to sell a house, great. It's awesome. You get to put it up. I get to help people list their house, but it's even more exciting to help them find a house because it's something they really want.
It's right? Your dream. You're helping build dreams.
Okay. And it's fun. But what I was going to say, so I haven't done that, but my goal is to work towards doing that more and be more successful at that. Right now it's just referral based, you know.
If you wait, I think it's so important. I appreciate you being just so, you know, honest about where you're at because, you know, I will share, I still have bills.
Yeah.
So when I decided to retire, I mean, it came out of nowhere and I wasn't prepared. And I decided to retire anyways, operationally, because I absolutely knew it was the right time. And I leaped. So I have to continue to work right now, but I want to, and I love what I'm doing. I'm a trainer. Yeah. I'm a leader. I'm a leader of my own organization. I have fabulous people and I'm training what I want to train. But financially, you know, I'm still paying down my bills. So eventually I can have that freedom, but I'm glad you're so honest about where you're at. And because there are people listening, who still have a lot of bills, it's okay. Like wherever you're at, and maybe like me, you'll go into retirement. It's never going to be the perfect time is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You're never going to have that where there might be some people, but rarely ever you're ever going to have that perfect moment where everything's paid off. Your health is great. You can start running right away. Like the day after you retire, nothing's going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. You have to look at your own lifespan as well. I've recently said I'm in the last third of my life and I'm very comfortable with that. And what that means is my focus now is different than maybe, you know, what it was years ago, but I take 911 with me. I take that value of life with me. We know working 911, tomorrow is not guaranteed. We know that better than anybody, right? So we should live like tomorrow is not guaranteed. Say what you mean. Don't say what you don't mean. Remember, words are really hard to take back. Be good to people. Say what you need to say. Reach out. Make that phone call. Pay attention to how you treat your body. And live, plan for the future, but live in the moment. You know, live for today or live for tonight. We should know that better than really anybody working in 911, right? Mm-hmm. And then listen to that voice. When you start to hear that voice, man, I think I'm all filled up, not used up. I realized on that Sunday afternoon, it was shortly after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm reviewing this call, just what would be a mundane call to anybody else. It's coming out of me. And I realized in that moment, I was all filled up. I'd served the mission. That's like not anything to be ashamed of. We all have an expiration date in 911. We just don't know what it is. For some people, it's 5 years and want to know what? That's okay. Don't make people feel bad if they decide to leave. I know we have a staffing shortage, definitely. But for some people, what they can give us 5 years and then they need to move on. We have to learn to be okay with that. Other people, the average lifespan for dispatcher is 7 to 8 years. Like if we can make it 7 to 8 years, that's considered to be really good. If you are like Norm 13 years in, or like me was 27 and a half years in, we've already served far beyond mm-hmm. what would be expected. So when that voice starts to say, I've taken like the last shooting call that I want to take, like my brain, I've been witness to so much trauma. I'm filled up. I need to continue on to my next adventure. It's okay. It's so okay to do that. And it's okay to leap if you're not completely prepared as well. But hopefully we've given you some things, you know, to think about. If you're lucky enough to have been able to plan in advance, when you get to be 2 years out is a really critical time. That's when, you know, you make your appointment to go in to see your financial person. Most 911 dispatchers don't have one. Get one. You need a financial planner. Talk to your banker. They'll hook you up with somebody. It doesn't have to be the scary thing, but you need to go see somebody and have somebody like look at what you have. Not everybody has a pension when they end 911. That's sad to me. I was lucky. I have that. A lot of our colleagues don't have that. So different planning has to take place, you know, knowing that. But when 2 years out, you start to really, really look at things heavily. And then you look at is what do you really want to do? Do you want to work security? That's fine if you do. There's nothing wrong with that. But is there something you've been wanting to try that maybe you can do part-time or even full-time after you leave dispatch operationally? But I want to encourage people to not just like shut off 911 and think you're going to retire and that was my past life. That has nothing to do with my life now. It will always have everything to do with what you do in the future because it formed you. It formed how you look at the world and how you look at people, and you can take positives from that. So for me, it's I do live in the moment. I do live for today. I realize that life is precious. I realize health is precious. I try to stay prepared. Like I'm getting ready. I realized I don't have CPR certification anymore. And I've got a grandbaby coming. So I realized this week, it was always automatic, right? My agency would make sure I was trained. I've got to go look for a class so that, because that's, I've made the decision. I want to keep that skill. You will keep some things from that past life and then let go of other things. So I've let go of the rush, but it's taken me 2 years to learn not to rush, even in how I walk.
There's a couple of things that you had said before that I wanted to touch on. One, you mentioned the financial planner, which I had typed it down on notes because I was taking some notes when you're saying stuff. I got a guy, so I actually talked to him not that long ago. So if somebody needs one, you could call me. I'll hook you up with them. Very nice guy, very veteran and first responder friendly. So very nice guy. I met him actually through my wife. So she was using him. He's done very well for her, helping her invest some of her money and stuff because her career is strictly commission. So there's no, you know, a lot of times there's no taking retirement stuff out of there, depending on where you're working and what you're doing. So if you don't have one, you don't know one, you don't know where to start, message me on Facebook, call me, I don't care, whatever you got to do, I'll set you up and you can talk to them. At least it gives you an idea as to what you need to do. One of the things you mentioned in there about how we, I see it with people that I work with, and I know why they do it, but I don't agree with it. Is they isolate themselves away from people because people don't understand our schedules, right? So, and then when you go and retire, where you're not gonna, those people aren't gonna be around. They're not gonna wait for you to participate in their lives. And it's sad because you could be missing out on something that, all it would take is a little effort for you to try and figure it out. And you can't assume that they're not willing to work with it. Do people understand our schedules? No, they don't understand it. They're never going to understand it. So it's the effort is on us to make, to try and make it work, to make their events or whatever it is.
To show up. There's value in showing up. And I'll tell you what, Norm, one of the surprises, you bring up an important point. One of the surprises is that I did have people who were waiting for me and I didn't know it. So I've reconnected over the last couple of years, especially this year. I really wasn't able to my first year because my body was broken. Yeah. I couldn't drive. I couldn't move. But this year, 2022 has been the year of reconnection. I discovered three different like long-term friends from my past who I was never able to get together with when I was working operationally 911. They're silently, like they love me enough. They're silently waiting. They were waiting for me. And all it took was for me to make that contact on Facebook. I didn't even have their numbers anymore. Make that contact on Facebook and say, listen, my life has changed. I've retired operationally. I'm still really busy. I'm still working, but my hours aren't as brutal. I miss you. Is there a chance we can reconnect? And those relationships picked right back up from where they had left off, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I think our listeners would be really surprised at who they have that they don't even realize that they have, right?
Yes, and I would agree with that. And I think what happens to people in general, but of course dispatchers, the way we think and we operate and feel, sometimes people sit around and wait. They're like, well, I'm always the person that contacts them to talk to them. And I'm looking at the screen, it looks like I froze up. There it is. Hey, I'm back.
Yeah, Norm, you cut out there.
Say that again.
I'm going to. I saw you guys freeze up. Or me freeze up, whatever. We are waiting for them sometimes to contact us because you feel like you're the one always having to reach out, right? Well, if you really want to talk to that person, why are you waiting for them?
Call them.
Why are you waiting for them to call you? So you're being petty about having them call you because you called them the last three times. You know, it's silly. It's very silly to think about. If you really want to talk or hang out with that person, make the effort and call them. You know, if they don't want to talk to you, then they're probably not going to talk to you. But you know what? They might be very busy too. Okay. So stop waiting. Stop being taking it personal that they aren't always the person to reach out, or you're the one that always has to do it. Okay. If you really care about that person, then you'll freaking do it. Okay?
I think that helps set us up too for a healthy post-operational retirement.
Yeah.
As well. Otherwise you're gonna go to nothing. And then you're gonna have to figure out. I had a number of, you know, I had my companies in place. And I had, you know, people in place, but there were still like many lessons. There were still many lessons to learn. It would have been even, I think retirement would have been even more difficult had I not already had some work in place. And then that friend that I shared with you who kind of prepared me for the onslaught of volunteer opportunities after you retire, she taught me a phrase that I started utilizing right away, and the phrases, and it may not work for you, but maybe it will. It was very, very helpful for me because I'm a yes person, meaning that I want to please people, especially people that I care about. So it's really difficult, especially when you're face to face and somebody asks you to volunteer and they know that you've just retired and your schedule is open up. It's really hard to tell them no. So what the phrase that she taught me is this: I'm not making any decisions right now for the next year as I figure out my schedule, but I'll give that some thought. And then stop talking. You don't have to give any other explanation. You don't have to go into how busy you are. And that phrase really worked well for me, and there weren't hurt feelings. And it allowed me to take the time I needed to figure out how am I gonna drive my next adventure? What is my post-operational life gonna look like?
Yeah.
Because I don't want it all filled up. I want time and space to be able to think and to be able to restore my health mentally and physically from the mission. The mission is hard. And I think all of us do when we leave it, you will leave it with some fatigue, either mental, physical, or both. So there has to be time for that restoration. But there also has to be, there should be something else. Maybe you're a grandparent and you could finally have, or a great grandparent, and you finally have time to spend with children or whatever it is, or maybe you want to focus on your health, focus on your house, whatever it is, travel. There should be a happily ever after. And I'm really working hard to be a good example of that as they go forward, so people are empowered to leave at the right time for them.
I think, and I don't know if the other guys here have anything to say on that stuff, but I do want to touch on something really quickly about the volunteering or the, we'll say a life of service, right? Because, we truly are in that. Yeah, we're getting paid, but we are in a service industry. Not quote unquote a customer service, but we are customer service. You know, that's a whole debate that I had many years ago that was interesting, but we won't dwell on that right now.
Not today.
But so there's a gentleman. So I volunteer for a organization. I'm actually the president of a nonprofit that was created with a group of us. It's for veterans. And one of our board members is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, recipient. I do that all the time. It's not, They didn't win it. They were awarded that medal for acts of bravery. And great guy. It was for something he did in Vietnam. You know, he saved a bunch of his teammates. And one of the things he talked about, he wrote a book, and one of the things he talked about is for many, many years, he was not a nice person after coming back. And he credits healing, because he wasn't a nice person to his family, he wasn't a nice person in general, and till he found something he enjoyed volunteering with, and it fulfilled him and made him feel better, and it assisted him in dealing with his PTSD. Nice. Because he had it, you know, he had it for 30 some years, and he found something that was rewarding that helped that heal. And you know, it doesn't go away. Let's face it. These guys, no. These men and women that deal with that, and even us that deal with these horrific instances, it doesn't go away, but it makes it easier, and it allows your trauma to go someplace instead of it just staying right here. So if you can find something that's rewarding, it doesn't have to take all of your time. No. You know, you found it and it's you found a way to take your dispatching skills and put it into, you know, St. Vincent de Paul or you know, to make it, to help people in a different manner where you're still dealing with them on a terrible day. But you directly, I say that we directly affect people no matter what, but you get to see you get to see it from start to finish, right? Ultimately,
I get to see the outcome. I get to see that mattress being sent to a house where a child's going to be able to lay on it. And I know for certain that family or that single mother or single father, I know for certain that they're better for that, which is something that it's really hard for us to get in 911. And I was okay with that. I served the mission, no regret. I would do it all over again. But I think I'm healing myself from the years of my mission in my adventures now. Yeah. And that's a healthy and a good thing. And I'm hoping to inspire others to do the same as they start to plot and look forward towards their next adventure. And you don't have to like limp out. In other words, you know, wait until someone tells you that it's time. I think it's always best to leave while you're still performing at a really high level.
Yeah.
So that you can enjoy your next adventure, and then absolutely continue to support people, support your comrades who, you know, have left, check in on people. And then for us to do the same, like that is your secondary family. You know, many of us, when we're working, you talked about your 600 and something hours 1 year of overtime, nor many of us are spending more time at the dispatch center than we are even at home with our loved ones. So it's kind of an extension of family, and that doesn't just go away when you retire, but it is different. You will not see people as much as you think that you're going to see them. You will not hear from them, but we have to remember that they're continuing on the mission and you're on your next adventure. So you can all be happy and stable in the end.
The last thing I wanted to say is happy early birthday.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. It's going to be 2022. It's going to be good. It's going to be better than last year.
There you go.
Guarantee you that. And I thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about Humanizing the Headset, and we don't have the name for it yet, but I'm going to be, for those of you who are listening, I'm going to be doing a regular blog for this wonderful group, and I think it'll be really helpful. I already have a blog on psychology today called Riding the Alligator on the Front Lines of Dispatch and Life, but this will be another blog that I'm just very, very excited to be part of this community. And I thank you for taking the time to listen, and thank you for having me, Brendan, Norm, and Janelle. I really greatly appreciate it. Full of gratitude.
I'm so glad that you could join us today. This was very fantastic.
It was. Hey, can you, Tracy, really quick, plug your stuff. You're here. Plug yourself.
Okay.
Do you have Instagram? Do you have Facebook?
We have everything. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are Hero Light Training. You can go to herolighttraining.com. My phone number is 920-737-8051. If you need help or advice on anything that we talked about, I do not mind if you call, if you text, if you go on my website, herolighttraining.com, just like it sounds, you'll find the link. We are a team. I have a wonderful group of people put together. We do both health and operational training, everything from active threat to, we have a whole catalog of fire classes, fire dispatch related classes now, which is something that just wasn't available when I was working with my team. And we're very focused on health as well and trends. We have a great new class on human trafficking and call taking, what to ask, what not to ask. Just some wonderful new curriculum, 14 new classes. So we'd be excited to see you, and we'll go anywhere. So thank you for giving me this opportunity.
And for anybody mm-hmm. listening, so you know, that's Hero, because the Wisconsin accent, H-E-R-O, light, L-I-G-H-T, training.com, correct?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you,
Somebody's going to be like, what did she say?
He's yeah. got my back. Thank
cheese,
you.
Yeah. Cheese curds, what?
Yeah. I'm a cheesehead. I'm a cheesehead.
That's right. That's awesome.
Brendan. Thank you, everybody.
What do we have? What do we have? We have talk a little bit about Thin Gold Shine, and we'll wrap this bad boy up.
Well, before we do that, Tracy, Janelle and I were talking earlier because I had started reaching out to people probably 6 or 7 months ago to do a blog on things people had wished that they knew prior to retirement. And I got a great response, probably about 10 people. So I may put them in touch with you as well, and I'll probably have Norm, or I can just pull the audio and send this to them early, and then we can awesome. Do a supplemental blog on this.
That would be wonderful.
Just so it's a more broad scope, like what these individuals are doing and what they wish they knew. So I'm excited about that, because again, it was like 7 or 8 months ago that I had reached out to these people to see if they would be interested. So this is perfect timing for that.
Yes.
To get that done. So thank you for that. This was very serendipitous in that regard.
Yes.
In terms of Thin Gold Shine, every month we have a peer nominated award recipient for the Thin Gold Shine Award. It's given to a telecommunicator, supervisor, manager, director that shows or that goes above and beyond, either under the headset or in their communities. One recipient per month, and then we have a grand prize winner, in quotes, who will receive a full tuition and lodging scholarship to attend the 911 leadership training event that Joe Cirio and the 360-degree dispatcher put on. That one will be announced in early 2023. Awesome. So get your nominations in. We're always accepting them. We also have, and I just posted something on this today, we have our TC Memorial, which we haven't gotten a lot of, I don't think we've gotten anything in regards to that today. And I just really quickly want to point out that we prefer for people to reach out to us to honor a dispatcher that has passed, because we get a more complete picture of who that person was in terms of the agency that they worked at, their date of birth, their date of passing, what their role was, pictures, et cetera. Whereas a lot of times when we look it up, we have to kind of piecemeal everything together by an obituary or something else. And there's a lot of information that's missed. And we would like to paint a full picture of that person so that we can honor them the best way that we can. So if you know of somebody, or if you would like to honor somebody, please visit our website, www.humanize911.com, to find out more about how you can do that. We have a bunch of other stuff on our website as well. So please check us out. Check out our blogs, our podcasts, our store, et cetera. We have a bunch of stuff on there, a bunch of resources as well. So check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.